Hi, I'm Monica Kast, and I'm your host for this month's Student Press Law Center podcast. The SPLC is the nation's only nonprofit legal organization devoted exclusively to defending the free press rights of high school and college journalists across the country. This month, we're talking about what happens when a school hires administrators in secret. When administrators are hired without a public search, it raises concerns about lack of transparency. It's difficult to vet these candidates, and students, faculty, and staff aren't able to give input in the selection process. We'll be hearing from student journalists at Kennesaw State University in Georgia, whose new president was appointed in June as the result of a closed search. I'll also be talking with Danielle Dietrich, the journalism fellow at SPLC, about my reporting process and tips for covering these searches. A link to my story, as well as a transcript of this podcast, are available in the show notes and at splc.org. To start things off, we'll hear from Sabrina Kearns, the news editor of The Sentinel at Kennesaw State University, and Corey Hancock, the former editor-in-chief of The Sentinel. Sabrina and Corey helped cover a recent closed search for the next president of KSU. If you count interim presidents, Pamela Whitten is the fifth president that KSU has had since 2016. Sabrina and Corey talked about reporting on a closed search and the difference in the selection process between Sam Olens, who was hired in secret without a search, and Pamela Whitten. A lack of transparency has caused a loss of trust between the administration and the rest of the KSU campus. That, along with little information released from the administration, caused obstacles in reporting on the closed search. Here's Sabrina and Corey talking about the reporting.
It was my job mainly to stay on top of what was happening and to go to all of the events that were held on campus about what was happening with the search. And I feel like that was mainly where we got a lot of our information, just because we weren't really getting information from anyone that wasn't a public announcement or anything like that. So we would get information from going to, there was a discussion held on campus about what the search was going to be like. And they took questions from like faculty, staff, and students during that time. And so we went there and we asked questions and we reported on that. And I also went to faculty senate meetings to talk to faculty and staff about how they felt about what was going on. And they would also make announcements about what was going on to the faculty during those meetings. So, a lot of the information that we were getting was really from public discussions and public announcements. Other than that, since it was a closed search and a confidential search, there wasn't a lot of information that we got directly from, like, from speaking to the search committee and things like that. So a lot of that information came from just public discussions and announcements.
That's pretty much the gist of it, too. Like, I know that we would periodically get emails from the search committee chair, Doug Moody, who would send those out every once in a while, just to give people different updates along the way. But it really kind of felt like we were being led through the dark throughout the whole process, not really knowing when things would break. We were trying to stay on top of people that we were receiving information from and trying to make sure that we had our bases covered and wanting to give the Kennesaw State community ample, I guess, timely information concerning the search process, because we'd already been through it once before, about a year earlier, and people were already kind of up in arms about that. Of course, you know, not having an open search for our newest president made a lot of people uncomfortable. So we were just trying to stay on top of things and making sure we had everything covered as best we could. But it was really difficult to try to get the information necessary to make informed articles happen.
I felt like it was very different because with the first one, it just felt like what Corey just said, like there was really no actual search. I know a lot of the faculty just felt like nothing was really being done. And I feel like in this case, The main reason that faculty, staff, and students were upset was because everything that just had just happened with Sam Owens and the fact that there was no actual search and then they announced that this one would be closed, I think that's where all of the upset really came from, because they felt like this was a time at KSU where they really needed more transparency in what they were doing within the administration. And so I felt like that's where most of the upset came from this time. But this time it felt like there was an actual search. There was a committee and they sent recommendations to the Board of Regents, and they only named one finalist, but it felt like there was more of a process this time than there was with Sam Owens.
I think this time with them at least giving updates as to where they were in the process and actually having a committee surrounding it, a committee full of people outside of the Board of Regents to facilitate it, I think that definitely made a difference. I mean, people still weren't satisfied, and I think everybody was still reeling from what had happened with President Owens at the time and how he'd really only served for a year, and people were like, well, we don't want to be locked into this other sort of one-year agreement, if you will, again. And so I think that a lot of people at Kennesaw are still grappling with that and are kind of wary because they don't want that to be the case again. But, you know, at the same time, there was definitely much more of a process, and they actually adhered really well to the timeline that they had laid out from the get-go, and did everything very timely and did it as they said they would. I think really the only thing that people really wanted was that full transparency in naming the people who were being considered and being forthcoming, because, you know, like Sabrina said, they only named one finalist.
Well, since they did announce it as a confidential search, we did get in contact with the search and screening committee, and they let us know over and over again, this is a confidential search. We can't give out any names of candidates or finalists. We can't come to our meetings because we'll be discussing names of candidates and things like that. So we did get in contact with them about trying to get that information, but again, they just reminded us, this is a confidential search. We're sorry, but we can't release any of that information.
I think I told Sabrina at one point during the semester, I was like, email them 2-3 times a week, or at least once a week at the very least, and we need to figure out if we can get anything, but they were not budging.
Do you guys have any advice or anything at all that you would give to student journalists who might be kind of going through the same thing and reporting on a confidential search about maybe some of the things that you guys did that worked or some of the things that they could try to do?
I guess advice for me is just to stay on top of everything. It can be really easy to just kind of let go and be resigned to the fact that nothing is going to be given to you until they announce names. But that doesn't mean that things aren't developing.
And I agree a lot with what Corey said. I think it's really important just to remain persistent in getting the information that you want, because they will tell you over and over and over again, like I said before, it's a closed search, we're not going to tell you anything. Yeah, just be persistent, just keep talking to people, and also talk to people around campus. I feel like I got so much information just from talking to faculty around campus.
That was Sabrina Kearns and Corey Hancock of The Sentinel at Kennesaw State University. Up next, you'll hear a conversation I had with Danielle Dietrich, the journalism fellow at SPLC, about the reporting process and some of the roadblocks we had in reporting on my story. We'll also discuss some tips we found along the way for reporting on closed searches. We're here to talk about kind of my reporting process and some of the things that we ran into that people can look out for if they're going to report on something similar. So I think probably the first was our beautiful map that we had planned that kind of we quickly realized that two people could not do in a month of reporting. So we wanted to talk to someone from each state about the law for candidate confidentiality. But after about a week of trying to track people down, we both kind of realized we weren't going to be able to contact 50 states.
It's just not realistic.
Yeah, not for two people. So I think if you're focusing on just one state or area of the country, it would definitely be a lot easier to track that down.
Definitely. And it's really like a great useful part of the story. So it's something that would definitely recommend if you have the capacity for it. But because we're working on a sort of national scale, it makes it a lot harder. And we've run into this issue before where in different kinds of stories, it'll come up the idea of like, let's look and nationwide and make a map of what every single state says about whatever law or whatever issue. And that's great. But if you like us, I mean, we're working in an internship, it's one semester. Right. So trying to, even if you're, you know, from day one working, which we're normally not, we're normally like not even pitching yet.
Right.
To then just, say we're going to do 50 states is like so ambitious.
Yeah, it just wasn't
going to happen. So that's actually like why my thought process as the editor was like, that's why we start with 1 week mm-hmm. as a test case and say like, for us, we chose 5 states. Here's for that. We actually just went like geographically and chose our regions. We started mm-hmm. in the Northeast and just said like, try and get 5 in a week. We'll use this to figure out how we're going to do the rest of it.
And I think after about 2 weeks, we had heard from 3 states. Yeah. So we quickly realized that 50 states was just not going to happen.
Really not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, but it was still helpful to have that because mm-hmm. it's still, if you don't try at all, I think that it can be really easy to feel frustrated, like, oh, I wish I would have gone for it. And so I think that was still a useful exercise.
Yeah.
We still got 5 states worth of information, more mm-hmm. than 5 states, actually, because we ended up revamping it. And instead of trying to do every single state, we sort of picked
some
key states.
Ones,
So, you know, you still, no matter what, you got additional information. That's never a bad thing.
Yeah. And I think part of that, too, was talking to the different freedom of information groups in those 5 states that we started out with was really helpful to kind of know what I was looking for in the states that we did end up picking, and also just having those resources of people that I could reach out to and be like, what do you know about this state? What's your FOIA law? Like, things like that. So still good, probably just a little
learning
ambitious. Yeah, for sure. I think another thing that we kind of ran into is that laws can be really varied and specific from state mm-hmm. to state. So some of the laws will say that you have to name 3 candidates. Some will say you can name 1. Some will just say you have to name less than 3. And so trying to categorize the different laws got to be a little tricky sometimes.
Yeah, it's, again, when you're trying to sort of speak towards the whole country, like, we have to at some point make decisions about how to categorize things mm-hmm, and how to, like, narrow down information, because just listing out, like, how many states did you end up getting? Do you remember?
I think I probably talked to, like, 8 or 10 states, and then I know we included 3 in the story.
Yeah.
So,
like, if we tried to list out 10 states, that's 1 super boring.
Yeah. Nobody's gonna read that.
Yeah. Like, it's too much for the average reader, but it's something that we sort of needed on the back end.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I feel like it worked out, but you just have to find a system for consolidating information.
Yeah.
Now we're actually editing the mm-hmm. story, which is its own whole phase of it. And I think it can be really hard when you've spent a long time like this. Like, this is a pretty long form story. It's been a number of weeks, even in a short summer semester, and you have a ton of information. And a lot of it is super interesting, but maybe not what the story is actually about. And that's something that we sort of ran into.
Yeah, I think especially when looking at the Kennesaw State University, like, there's just so much detail that you could include in that story that would make it a really interesting story just to look at on its own. But ultimately, if you get caught up in a lot of those details, it kind of takes away from the point of the story, which is looking at secret searches and not kind of their complicated history of hiring presidents.
5 presidents
in 2 years.
It's wild. And it almost pains you as an editor to like go through and be like, let me cut these great graphs about
stories of protests and restraining orders and attorney generals being named president.
All kinds of, yeah, just banana stuff. Yeah. But when it comes down to it, it is good to sort of take a first look. My advice as the editor is read through it all, make notes along the way for yourself, and then go back and think about the actual structure for it. So for this kind of story, for me, it's just so much, it makes so much more sense to go and do not even multiple rounds of edits, but basically just continual edits of it should just be going back and forth between me and Monica, and we're just having that open communication about, all right, here is the thing that I'm noticing, here's the problem, here's how I think the solution should come around, and then we work it out, and it has been pretty collaborative, and I think that is working.
I think definitely when you've worked on something for, a month and a half, as we have with this, having a second set of eyes and having someone who can be like, we don't need this, we do need this, is really helpful than rather than if you're just like working on it on your own, I guess.
Definitely. And one of the things we ended up doing is having like an accompanying piece. So the second part of it is tips for if you actually are out there trying to cover a secret search or any kind of presidential search at your college, what does that actually look like? Because we knew, you know, that's one of the reasons people might want to actually read this story is this is happening at my school or has already happened or may happen, and I want to know how to deal with it. And it didn't necessarily fit, or it was a little bit tangential or too far, too much to include in the full original story. So we broke it out, and we're actually doing two different versions of those tips, one super brief one, and then one that has a little bit more detail.
Yeah, because I'd actually reported on something similar back when I was in school. We had hired a president under a secret search, and I think having something like just these five tips would have been really helpful, because when it happens, you kind of feel like you're going in blind and you don't really know what's coming next. Yeah.
It's not something that happens every day, or, I mean, if you're not at Kennesaw.
But I guess just to hit a few of those points quickly, make sure that you're reporting on the secrecy. We talked to Frank Lamonte, who's the director of the Breckner Center for Freedom of Information. He's also a legal fellow here at the SPLC. But just make sure that you're writing about it regularly and that you're covering it in news stories, but also maybe consider doing editorials and things like that. Another big thing we heard from people was just to make sure you're talking to people on campus. Don't just accept the fact that it's a closed search and then never speak to anyone about it again. Definitely be asking questions.
If you're told a meeting won't have any new information, show up anyway. One of the people that Monica spoke with basically said, I would show up no matter what, and then people knew to contact me. And that's pretty major of faculty were actually reaching out to her and talking to her, as opposed to her always being the one to reach out to them.
Yeah, I think definitely making yourself visible on campus at these events lets people know that, like, you're there and that you're looking for information. So if they have it, they're more willing to reach out.
Definitely. And then also going off campus. So he listed a couple, key stakeholders.
Yeah, people like politicians and, Board of Regents members who are appointed by the governor. So talking to stakeholders, I guess, offsite.
Off campus.
Yeah. And then another thing that Frank told us is to keep reporting even after the search is over. Sit down with the person who's actually selected and ask them about their selection process. One of the interesting things he said to ask was ask them how much time they actually spent on campus before they were hired, because it can raise some red flags if they said they've only spent a few hours there, if they've never been to campus at all.
Yeah.
It's definitely concerning.
Can definitely get back to those issues of vetting and how well this new candidate even knows and connects with the campus.
Yeah, I think it also kind of points to why they're taking the job too. They're taking it without spending any time on campus, you should be asking some more questions.
Agreed. Always do that. Yes. General rule of thumb.
Thank you. has been the Student Press Law Center podcast, produced here in Washington, D.C. Our theme track is Inspirational Life by Sound.com. Special thanks to the Sentinel for providing audio from the protests on KSU's campus. If you have questions about reporting on this topic or need legal advice, you can visit our website, splc.org. You can also find news stories, advice, and legal resources. You can follow us on Twitter at SPLC and be sure to like our Facebook page. You can follow me on Twitter at Monica_Cast. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next month.